From APM, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. There's a new FCC chairman in town, Ajit Pai, and this week, his FCC is striking down a proposal from 2013. The proposal was to get rid of the rule about not using cell phones in flight. Pai says that Americans will, quote, value the moment of quiet at 30,000 feet. You know who might also value it? The competition. Here to talk more is Brian Fung, technology reporter at The Washington Post. Brian, thanks for talking with us again.
Thanks again for having me.
Why do you think this hit such a nerve with both airline employees and, according to the new FCC commissioner, travelers?
It's pretty apparent that people care a lot about noise in the cabin. And unlike Amtrak, where you can kind of escape to a quiet car, you really can't escape on an airplane. So, you know, it makes sense why a lot of consumers would have been upset or irate about this proposal. But also at the same time, preventing people from making voice calls on planes also incidentally prevents them from using mobile data on planes. And while it's currently pretty hard to get a cellular signal up at 30,000 feet, technology is coming that would allow consumers to do that kind of thing so that they wouldn't have to rely on, you know, expensive or slow in-flight Wi-Fi services.
And herein lies the rub. This move is anti-competitive, isn't it?
You know, there is a general lack of choice when it comes to in-flight Wi-Fi providers because it is pretty expensive to provide this type of service. So this is a pretty niche business. And to the extent that cellular carriers, you know, to the extent that they could get in on that business, that would represent more competition against providers such as Gogo and Flight Wireless. And this also is kind of an interesting position for the FCC chairman because he has largely been billed as an advocate for deregulation. And in this case, what we're seeing is an FCC working to maintain regulations that, you know, prevent consumers from using their phones on planes.
Yeah, so like, you know, what up with that?
That's a really good question, and I don't know that I have an answer for you. You know, I have spoken to some policy analysts in D.C. who see this as, you know, the chairman taking a populist stance on an issue that many consumers found unpopular ahead of an effort to roll back the FCC's net neutrality rules and to try and buy some goodwill with the public that way.
Interesting. Brian Fung covers technology for The Washington Post. Brian, thank you very much.
Thanks again for having me.
While we are on the topic of air travel, the outrage about a passenger being forcibly removed from a United flight headed to Louisville from Chicago continues, despite an apology. And if you want evidence, look no further than the reviews of the United Airways app. Some are angry, others are satire. I'll read you some of one real quick from user Josh Blaha. Quote, "The new drag and drop feature, along with the bugs eliminated, combined with the police force, is really cutting edge. I have yet to see an app that has this kind of power behind it," unquote. Lot more where that came from. Yikes. Cyberpunk 2077 is a new video game from Polish video game company Project Red. And as companies often do, the company is trying to trademark the name. Result? A lot of very angry video gamers who don't like the idea of a game maker trying to do something not very punk trademark the name of a specific genre of science fiction, also called cyberpunk. Here to help us understand is trademark law specialist, Stanford Law professor, and gamer Mark Lemley. Mark, glad to have you on.
Glad to be here.
All right. So for those of us who haven't read William Gibson's Neuromancer, can you explain what cyberpunk is?
Yeah, cyberpunk is sort of the dark side of the internet and the technical revolution. As William Gibson put it himself, the street finds its own uses for technology. So we develop technology with all these aspirations, how it actually gets deployed, how poor people use it, who has access and who doesn't. All that is really the kind of theme of a cyberpunk novel.
And this game maker tried to trademark it. Why?
Yeah, so the game is called Cyberpunk 2077, and the idea, I think, is to try to capture that feel, the kind of seedy underbelly of future technology.
So essentially, the game maker doesn't want somebody to put Cyberpunk in the name of another game, thus making it confusing with their own game.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the purpose of trademark law. We want people not to be confused. And if I launch a game called Cyberpunk 2078, somebody who's out shopping might well think it's the game that they've heard about and buy it. CD Projekt Red wants to prevent that from happening. I think one of the things that's got people exercised is, all right, this game name also happens to be fundamental concept in science fiction.
It's almost like trying to trademark romance novel.
Trademark law is okay with the idea that I use a term that has other meanings. It's easiest if the term doesn't actually have much to do with the product. So we have no problem with Apple Computer calling itself Apple Computer. On the other hand, if I sell cars and I decide I want to trademark the term car, well, then we've got a problem because other people are going to need to talk about cars, and the natural term they're going to use, or at least a natural term, is car. This one seems somewhere in between to me. It's not unrelated to the genre of the game, but I'm not sure it's a generic term that, you know, nobody can really sort of use or talk about this type of science fiction without using the term.
Stanford Law professor and video game fan Mark Lemley. Mark, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Coming to you, as we always do, from the seedy underbelly of future technology, I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.